They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Our clothing does not talk, but it does tell a story. A magnificent story. Consider the uniform of a veteran who's witnessed horrific history and untold bravery. The postman's well-worn soles that have traveled miles to unite those separated by vast oceans and lands. Or the pastor's clerical collar that has heard the depths and darkness of man's soul, and yet also heard the light and the joy of the absolution. Or maybe it's just simply grandma's wedding dress or grandpa's ties. But they are far more than something old or outdated. They tell a common yet uncommon tale. It's no different in the Holy Scriptures. The fig leaves of Adam and Eve weave a tragic tale of foolishness and trying to cover up sin and shame and hiding from God. The animal skins tell a story of God's mercy to clothe Adam and Eve, a sacrificial and sacramental act on God's part. Then we have the goat skins that covered and concealed Jacob as he took his older brother Esau's blessing. Swaddling cloths are wrapped around our Lord at his birth for us, and he was wrapped in burial cloths in his crucifixion and death for us. Who knew that the scriptures were a veritable walk-in closet of God's promises to us? And All Saints Day, the feast that we celebrate today, is no different. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And so we see a displaying of a unique set of clothing. Yes, a great multitude without number, a gathering of all nations and tribes and languages and peoples, adorned in white robes and these palm branches that are in their hands symbolizing victory, and voices therefore are crying out unto God that salvation belongs to Him alone. And beholding this magnificent sight, we ask the same question that one of the elders asked the Apostle John. Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? It's a great question. These Christians are those who are of all times and of all places. They're all those who have lived and have died and are currently living, trusting in the promises of Christ Jesus. We know some of their names. We know the prophets and the apostles. We know many of the ancient martyrs of old. We know the Christians who have gone before us in the faith, as we say, names that we remember every single day, no matter what day the calendar says it is. And those we know now, that we see face to face. But what we do not know is the majority of these saints' names. They will remain hidden to us as long as we live in this earthly creation. And after all, we live in a world where we are expected, or it is thought that we must leave a legacy, or that we must leave a mark on this earthly plane, or that we must do something great with our lives that people will remember. And thus, with these types of injunctions, we are flooded with the idea that a saint means to be someone whom everyone recognizes as having done a bunch of good things. Or perhaps we think of saints as simply Christians who have died, or we speak of those who have died as those who have been, quote, sainted. But this isn't exactly what the scriptures mean when they refer to a saint or a holy one. Because in the scriptures, the saints are not those who have done lots of good things or who have simply have died. Granted, God's holy people lead holy lives, therefore they do good works. And as the psalmist says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. But they are not saints by virtue of having done those good things or simply because they have died. In Scripture, the holy ones or the saints are holy and sainted because they belong to the Holy One, God Himself. They are around the throne of the Lamb. So saints are not just those who are noticed or well known or even remembered by the history books. Often, if there is any good in this world, it is due to the actions that are unhistoric. Actions that aren't going to be written down in any books or noticed or remembered by various generations. It would seem to me that the little good in this world often lies with those who have lived faithfully hidden lives and rest largely in unvisited tombs. Because the saints of God are not calculating on earth the resulting legacy of their works, their fame, or their notoriety of their actions. They're just simply, according to the will of the Lord, and to the best of their ability and the talents that God has given them, to carry out their vocations humbly before God and in fervent love toward their neighbor. No star on the walk of fame, no medal hung around their neck, just a common yet uncommon life. Because your holiness, you see, does not rest in your heroic actions. You aren't holy because you are named and you are known to the world, or because the world will attempt to immortalize your deeds or your family or whoever. You are holy precisely because of the clothing with which God has clothed you. Your clothing tells a story. Your baptismal clothing tells a story. The funeral pall that covers the casket tells a story. That these ones have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For while our blood is stained with guilt and sin, a scarlet mark on our white robes that we can never wash out by our feverish scrubbing, no matter how hard we try. The blood of Jesus, however, cleanses us from all sin. The blood of Jesus redeems and saves and forgives and declares you holy by virtue of His blood. Jesus wraps you in His saintly cloths, in a cruciform baptism of water and blood. The bride of Christ is indeed covered in fine linen, in the righteous actions of the saints throughout history and into the present. But its fine linen is that it has been already washed in the purified and holy blood of Christ Jesus. Jesus' cursed death upon the tree is so that you would die a holy and blessed death, as we say, of those who have died as Christians, and that you would be raised up on the last day with all the saints. You are holy precisely because you belong to Jesus, who is the Holy One of God. It was a 19th century Lutheran pastor, Wilhelm Leah, who said something quite insightful about the saints of the Lutheran Church. And he said this, that we do not make a distinction between a common life and an uncommon life. That is to say, we don't judge certain lives to be regular Christian lives, and then we elevate, on the other hand, certain Christians whose lives that we have judged based upon outward actions as particularly holy. For us, when it comes to holiness, there is no distinction between pastor and people, or some Christians or other Christians. There is one holiness. All Christians live common lives according to their vocations and the places in which they live. Yet we express an uncommon love within those common lives. And that sort of love that we express for each other is about as uncommon as it gets in this world. Because it is the love, the sacrificial, giving love of Jesus. The world says that you love people as long as you have feelings or emotions of love toward them. And that when those feelings or those emotions, etc., do not exist, then your love is gone. It ceases to exist. But an uncommon love expressed in a common life of a Christian is to love those whom they have been given to love, period. We love one another day in and day out, over and over and over again until we die. Because that's the love of Jesus for us. That's the uncommon love that we have for one another. For if we weren't already washed in the blood of Jesus, we might despair in thinking that in carrying out our vocations, it doesn't seem to matter, because no matter how much we work, no matter how much we do, the world just keeps getting worse and worse. We might even go so far as to say that what our vocations give us to do is not enough, and that we need to have something more significant or more holy to do in order to make this world holy. But again, whatever good there is in this life, wherever the salt and light of Christ is in the world, it does not exist because we can prejudge what will change the world for the better. It's instead dependent upon unhistoric and things that are that, and that things are not so bad or ill for us and for those who come after us, precisely because of those uncountable saints, those whose names we do not know, who have lived faithfully hidden lives, and whose bodies rest in unmarked tombs and in forgotten graveyards. It was Henry David Thoreau who said that we lead a life of quiet desperation. Well, if a Christian were to get a hold of those words, they would change it to this: we lead a life of quiet expectation. We live quiet and common lives, hidden lives, especially according to the world, if not boring lives according to the world. But this is because we know that Jesus will and does bring everything to its righteous and glorious end. That we wait for a day when the sons of God will appear and be revealed and all creation will rejoice. And that we wait for a day when all the saints are revealed as they are in Christ. And we know their names. No need for name tags. For a Christian's baptismal robe washed in the blood of Jesus tells a magnificent tale and truth. That they are, that you are sitting here, the ones coming out of the great tribulation, having washed your robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They are. You are holy, even as your heavenly Father is holy. By the will of the Father, by the blood of the Son, and by the testimony of the Holy Spirit. As St. John reminds you today, beloved, you are God's children now. And what you will be has not yet appeared, but you know that when He appears, that is Jesus, you shall be like Him, because you shall see Him as He is. So when the Apostle John sees in the revelation given to him by Christ Jesus, the saints clothed in white robes, coming out of this great tribulation, time-wise, this encapsulates the past, the present, and the future all in one moment. The faithful departed are there. You are there. White robes washed in the blood of the Lamb of Jesus adorn you as all the saints are adorned with, having come out of this great tribulation. One throne, here below and up above. A sacramental communion circle of unending life and praise and glory together as God's holy ones. Saints, angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven, bonded forever in eternity by the blood-washed robe of Jesus. Our gifted Christian clothing declares to us a most holy tale and telos, an end of our Christian faith. And that is this. We are saints now, having the quiet expectation of dwelling eternally with the saints above. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.